Bir çıkan bir danışta tamam yönetimin önündeyken genelde karşılamaya bakıyor önlerken yine tanıtmayı çekiyor benim ağa. Değil onu dedi ya tanım ki kendi varından bu arka çırman çıkan sonradan da kurum sadece varından bayrağı gideceğim durum. Şuyu selam tanıdığım ki bak filafikam sarısvatan ambaram. Madde kamçı varam var yetişanım yaşış var şiirem. Manca kapı karı üretti artık bütün yuvaya düşer kutu kınağın kalınca o başına beygiyon nama o nama nama o maha manyaya kışna beyim o dünaya pey kışna ay kışna pey tanım inamın en doğru kim şey nama Divine wish to offer my
said in the prayers to our divine guardians, Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Rakak, Srila Hari Gosain Maharaj, who is dear follower, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Maharaj, the line of Srila Chaitanya Saraswati Maharaj, and my spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Actually, when one consideration of feeling in my heart is that when I see everyone, I feel a sense of brotherhood with all the devotees. Sense that, as I said, myself and Shripad Sagar Maharaj were older associates from the time of Srila Prabhupada, and we've known each other many years. And then also their younger devotees who are disciples of Srila Govinda Maharaj, disciples of Srila Guru Maharaj. And I feel all of them are my God brothers. Because I consider all of Guru Maharaj and Prabhupada and Govinda Maharaj, I see them all in that. My guardians, so all those related with them. You see in that way of as God brothers and God sisters. And after Maharaj spoke so much yesterday and many very nice things, I'm thinking, what do I really have to contribute? Not so much of substance. And I was thinking that all the time before, everything was measured quantitatively, externally almost, in the sense that, and we also felt that we had to, you know, almost so to speak, go out at the beginning of the day early and come back in the evening and show something for our effort, you know. It should be some result. And I remember with Prabhupada, it was not uncommon that he would always start out, he would be talking, and within a short period of time he'd be saying that we have 108 temples all over the world. You heard Maharaj also, it's quite common. He would say we have 108 temples all over the world and hundred thousand devotees and everything. And it was his way of of drawing people in. At least, you know, there almost was this display of numbers that and pictures and everything. And he did so obviously because he was trying to, you know, feverishly he was trying to draw people in, expand all this, you know, reach the conditioned souls some way or other. And this was a way that would pique their interest a little bit, capture their attention. And he had also that potency to inject in those words, and somehow or other people would know. But also, as many of the devotees, they got taken into as so-called preachers. They all began to work with these numbers too, you know. It became like Vaishnava was known by how many temples, you know, he had under his belt or whatever, you know, how many temples he opened up, and how many books he printed, and, you know, how many devotees he had in his temple, and, you know, and other external considerations. Somehow or other, people got to think that was of importance. And I remember one of the first letters I got from Srila Guru Maharaj, you know, that he wrote one line. I think Govinda Maharaj repeated just the other day. He said, Govinda Maharaj said, quality, not quantity. That was what Guru Maharaj also wrote. He said that, when I related some events to Guru Maharaj that indicated that things were shrinking rather than expanding. People were going away, things were shrinking. You know, the opposite syndrome, which we had always been taught before. Then Guru Maharaj said, that is all right. We are always interested in quality, not quantity. We are interested in that way. And Guru Maharaj expressed it. I cannot quote exactly, but he said, I never wanted to be a big man or a big person. I was always content to surround myself with a small group of interested persons and share my realizations with them. He never wanted to establish himself as a big person, although, you know, that Guru Maharaj's humility, because you can express like that, but it's almost like that saying that, what is it, who, mixed analogy, but that if Mohammed won't go to the mountain will come to Mohammed, something like that, right? So the mountain came to Guru Maharaj's door, even though he was in Navadvip.
He said it himself, actually, about himself.
Right. That same expression.
Same exact. You're all coming to me, like the mountain has come to Mohammed.
So they...
He didn't know that, huh? He said it first.
But it was like that.
Yeah.
And I felt that way. When Guru Maharaj, his last year, and he was up staying on his balcony, and he never came down from his balcony, and neither practically the Bengalis, they didn't go up onto his balcony. A few personal servitors, they would go up and attend the Guru Maharaj and be with him. But the Western devotees, they would go up to the balcony, but we wouldn't really say anything. We'd go in there and offer in the morning Dandabhat pranams to Guru Maharaj. Not say, not purposely not speak so as to disturb him. And at that time maybe he was showing that his vision was wasn't seeing so much one time. Anyway, we'd go and offer our Dandabhat pranams and then go back downstairs. But I felt like seeing Guru Maharaj, I felt like seeing him on the balcony was the same as seeing the sun on the eastern horizon. In the sense, I don't know, when you see the sun on the horizon in the morning, you get a sense that everything's well with the world. You know what I'm saying? You have that feeling by seeing the sun there that life is going on and everything is just nice by seeing the sun. And it was that I felt that way seeing Guru Maharaj in the morning. I felt like on that balcony there was the whole sun, more than the sun, was sitting on that balcony and just radiating life and heat and warmth and everything. Didn't matter he wasn't saying anything or anything. Of course, maybe other devotees felt differently because they knew him when he was.
Before that he used to speak 2 hours and
more. Yeah, when he was healthy and speaking so much and everything. But I knew that was not going to be again. Guru Maharaj wasn't going to return to those days of speaking again, but it was seeing him like that. Anyway, I don't know how I got speaking of that, but I know with Guru Maharaj, we always heard that the devotees, he was talking about relief work.
Guru Maharaj.
Yeah. He was talking about relief work and that not just this sense of expanding everything, of opening new temples and everything like that, but also the necessity of the devotees who had come to Krishna consciousness, that they'd find some nourishment, some nutrition, something to enthuse them, to give them some life. Of course, Guru Maharaj could give that easily, though. But he wanted to see that would be continued. In one sense, you could say there is necessity for that, especially because, you know, I want to be very positive. I don't want to say anything, you know, contrary vein. But you know, sometimes the course of preaching and working, it wasn't like that. Always there would be an emphasis of giving nutrition to people, to the devotees, to see that their need for hearing something, and you know, we hear in the Upadeshamrita that relationship with devotees, that verse with didati prati vinati, this exchange. Of course, one thing I think is interesting in the art, we had that book Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada presented. There it talks about these points of exchanges between devotees, that one devotee reveals his mind to another devotee, etc. But actually, Guru Maharaj's presentation of that takes that a little further, in the sense that Guru Maharaj emphasizes that what we're actually doing in that exchange is it involves a relationship of the devotee to the divine guardian, that one is taking foodstuffs to the higher devotee, and what he's getting back from the he's giving them raw ingredients, in other words. Just as Guru Maharaj one time expressed, you know, to Prabhupada expressed to Guru Maharaj that I'm bringing you the raw ingredients. You know, you mold them, you fashion them. You've heard that, right? That I'm giving you the raw ingredients. You finish them, they're a little rough. But actually, in the Upadeshamrita, that is the relationship that is given there. That what is supplied to the higher Vaishnava is raw ingredients. Just like you give him bhoga, and what you take back is his remnant. And that relationship of revealing one's mind, that's to the higher Vaishnava. You reveal your mind to him, and what he gives you back is his guidance. So the whole presentation there is in that way. So those kind of relationships, you know, the devotees have to be able to find that kind of sustenance. They can't, it's not just enough to go out and bring more people into Krishna consciousness, although of course that's always, you know, that will always be going on. But the devotees will also need these kinds of loving exchanges and these getting the mercy from the higher Vaishnavas and from above, from the sense of contact with guardians. Just as Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Upadeshamrita. And that we found from Srila Guru Maharaj, that emphasis, or not just from the outside, from the inside going out, but from also the outside coming in. Is that right? Outside coming in towards that, those who had come to Krishna consciousness, who had an attraction for Mahaprabhu's movement, they wouldn't go away. And he expressed that. Maybe it was sometimes wrongly interpreted. Somebody questioned his motives. But those who actually had contact with him, they could appreciate that here is actually Param Vaishnava, you know, the kind of personality that maybe you could hear about in, you know, the personality of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami or Narottam Das Thakur, personality of that kind of caliber. There was a contact with that kind of a Vaishnava. And not even imagining what that meant, but having that contact with Srila Guru Maharaj. And then, so the somehow or other, I don't know where the expression came from, but we heard relief work, that expression, that to provide some relief to the devotees. And I think since our involvement in preaching to the and dealing with devotees, like I can say in San Jose, I found a lot of the older devotees, they actually almost had like my god brothers and maybe even myself and others. Their devotees had complexes almost, you know, for me it was not uncommon to hear from devotees. They'd say, "Oh, I remember," you know, they'd many times be reminiscing and they'd say, "I remember when we were living in the temple, you know, 20 years ago, and then we were brahmacharis or this or that, and we were serving and had no possessions," and then talking like this, and yes, then I was really involved in devotional life, but now I'm very, you know, like far away. People would all, I mean, I'd always hear that, and I think, you know, just as a child grows up, that was you maybe when you were in small pants, you know, like half pants or shorts, whatever, you know, in those days. But now you're an adult and you have your, you know, family and you're responsibilities. And in one sense, I would think that what you have now is more mature, like mature fruit. It's like what you have now is your faith has grown, has become, you know, like sweeter, and you've had. But sometimes the devotees almost they wouldn't recognize that because they'd be so much, you know, used to thinking in different words, you know, like that somebody living outside the temple, that he was somehow less than somebody who lived inside the temple, you know, or somebody who didn't attend the programs every day at the precise hour, that somehow or other he was less than somebody who, you know, like lived in the closet and could, you know, just come out when the bell started ringing. That kind of feeling. And I began to appreciate that, no, it's not like that. Although even they themselves are thinking like that, it's not really like that. Just as I'd hear many times before, years ago, I'd always hear many times, you know, that somebody living in the temple, they'd express some kind of like condescension or speaking, you know, like speaking in disparagingly of somebody who wasn't living in the temple, and they'd be speaking about them by external consideration, you know. And yet we'd find even that many of those persons, you'd find that they'd speak that way, but these, the kind of external considerations of what was seen as a measure of advancement, you know, they might show those symptoms, and then a year later, where would they be? But the persons who sometimes they would measure them, other persons in a lower position, those people would continue in their faith, and you'd see them, you know, and you knew that they were also giving that Krishna consciousness to others in their own way. So I began to appreciate that the devotees, that there was a need for that relief work. They themselves sometimes, as I said, would express this kind of reminiscing from when they were devotees of so many years before. But what they actually had is, you know, this development of Krishna consciousness and their faith. There was a need to express that was of more importance than just like thinking about things in terms of where they had been before. And so was dealing more with that reality, I think. And I feel that is reality. And sometimes people would say that we're not interested in preaching. We're not interested in preaching, or we're not interested in, we're not interested in, you know, giving to others and continuing with the Krishna consciousness on an expansive scale. But Maybe there could be some justification a little bit for seeing that way, that if we didn't have any interest in giving Krishna consciousness to other persons. But I felt that so to speak, we had to have there. In Spanish, there's a saying that says that there's light outside, but inside your own house it's dark. You know, there's like a street lamp, and there's light in the street lamp outside, but no light inside the house. So, meaning that one's attentive to what's outside. Not really inattentive to what's, going on in his own home. And then I feel also that Srila Govindamaraj, he gives that adjustment, balance too, because anyway, I know I'm just saying things that everyone's already aware of, that maybe about the personality of Srila Govindamaraj and that. But he has that also that urgency of giving Krishna consciousness in an expansive form, and he also carries that mood of Srila Prabhupada, I feel. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I see their personalities very akin, And even facial features or something I see as being akin, but maybe that physical consideration not so important, but mood of the heart feelings of Srila Govindamaraj, I feel that he captures that mood of Srila Prabhupada, that in the sense of
several view of things.
Put a lot of things. I have to go out halfway through your talk. That's my loss. But at least from what you just said, I'm one of those people who's guilty of saying I'm not interested in preaching. And who was here a couple of nights ago probably remembers me saying it right here. But when I say it, I just try to be honest, because if I weren't interested in preaching, then why did I travel all over the world with my eyes? One could ask, well. It's probably more because what was given to be preaching, what was, if you like, to be a little more scathing, perpetrated in the name of preaching, I don't want that anymore. But the simple giving and taking that we find personified in Srila Maharaj and his friends, amongst whom He graciously accepts us as is actually quite irresistible. Is absolutely irresistible. Maharaj coming now?
Maharaj is here.
Good. Then we no need to be just. We take pranam, a little, and we receive Maharaj. Is the power to look different. Maharaj.
One of the things I mentioned, Maharaj, that I, you know, that verse of Upadeshan Gita of Dadati Prati Vinati, then I like very much in Guru Maharaj's explanation of that, how he talks about how what's actually happening in that verse, because before we had one understanding of that verse, but from Guru Maharaj's explanation we got a different understanding of that the relationship with the divine guardian, that one is supplying the raw ingredients to the divine guardian, and what he is giving in turn is, one is supplying, for instance, you know, foodstuffs, but what one is getting from him is actually is prasadam from him. And one is revealing his mind to the superior, to that guardian, and what he's getting is guidance. But this, before we always heard that it was like, this was loving exchanges between two devotees. But in one sense, Guru Maharaj's explanation seems more real in this sense. There's a saying, for instance, there's a Spanish saying that says, if you reveal your mind to somebody, when they're angry, they'll tell everybody. You understand?
Yes.
Actually the saying is, you should not reveal your mind to other people, because when they're, even if he's a friend, because when he's angry with you, then he'll say what is secret revealing of your heart. And it is the truth. It has some truth to it, as we know from experience. Yeah. But that relationship of Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, it seems that the explanation of Guru Maharaj of how raw ingredients are supplied to the higher Vaishnava, and then what he does with that, how there is almost like mystic transformation of those raw ingredients, that then there are three principal exchanges involved there. That I found very interesting, actually, how Guru Maharaj's vision of that. I was speaking something else also about how we found it in the person of Srila Guru Maharaj, how he was taking how he was giving us this relief work and caring for the quality and the internal development of the devotees. Whereas before, of course, we always heard of a preaching movement, we heard of many considerations of expanding the preaching of Mahaprabhu's movement, but Guru Maharaj gave us the need of seeing for the feeding of the devotees. I mentioned also another saying, Spanish saying that says, outside the house there is light in the street, but inside my house it is darkness. That we're able to provide for others, but not inside our own house, in our own family, then there's not enough, there's no light bulb, there's no no light. So the Guru Maharaj had given that, used that word, relief work, and providing for the devotees. Then I also said about, but in your person we felt some harmonizing that also to the mood of Guru Maharaj, but also something the mood of Srila Swami Maharaj, how he also, you know, saw that urgency of giving Krishna consciousness, you know, to others out of necessity, that how there was harmony in that, quote, internal. Anyway, like this, speaking, not much more than that, but.
మంచాకృతృభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావని పూర్ణమో నమో శ్రీపాద్ జనార్దన్ మహారాజ్ and Sripad Sagar Maharaj. They both heard many things about Srila Guru Maharaj's conception and always trying to realize that. That is, they have some clear vision about Krishna consciousness, trying to realize how much Guru Maharaj's mercy bestow in this material world and how much spiritual world enlightened by Guru Maharaj here in this material world, and what is the gift of Srila Swami Maharaj. They have joined many years ago in this Krishna consciousness movement, and finally they realized we have no other way to accept, no other way except to do some seva of Guru Vaishnava. And that seva, we have some capacity, maybe very tiny or maybe more than that. But through our all intention, our all energy, we shall try to serve them. It is one kind of service, that is what they want to distribute mercy of Srila Mahaprabhu, Sriman Mahaprabhu. If we will try to expand that mercy, what we have got, little or more, then they will be happy. And their happiness is necessary. But nobody will go out from this Krishna consciousness. This is one duty come to us. After Srila Swami Maharaj and Srila Guru Maharaj, now it has come to us. At least we will try to protect anyway. Protection will give Krishna to the sincere soul, but through some body. And if I get that chance, and I shall be benefited, and they also will be benefited. Really, for coming that way. Some devotees come to Guru Maharaj and told, after Prabhupada, like, we cannot stay there. This is our situation. But what I have got, that is sufficient, we are thinking, but now our position, we will go back to our previous position. And from there, we shall try to do something. And Srila Guru Maharaj was very unhappy to hear that. He tried many ways to harmonize, make some adjustment. But finally, when it's not happened, Guru Maharaj was very disturbed. I requested to Guru Maharaj, please help them. San Maharaj is have much regard and affection for you. And if you give some help to them, then it will be very good for them, also our good for our institution. Finally, Guru Maharaj agreed as really poor. Not take aggressive any move. But who cannot stay anyway, he gives some help. He wants to give some help to him. That was his relinquished movement, actually. I also feel in this moment, this time, I have many friends. They are also very exalted devotees. Their position was very nice. Till their position is nice, I think. But the picture comes a little sad form to us. But they have faith to Srila Guru Maharaj, strong faith, till they have, and affection to me. That is, they are sending their disciples to me. You go and take initiation from Govinda Maharaj. But I feel and I am thinking, they are not actually unqualified. They are qualified, but for the time being, they have some difficulty to maintain their position. Then, when I give initiation, I think that time this is their own property, they are keeping it with me. It is one kind of relief for me. And when they will be set right, they will get back everything from me. I am not digesting and I am not eager to take that. Actually, I am helping to them, and through this help, I am helping of my friend also. When he will get position, be set right, then he will get everything. It's all right. Two ways we have seen, and fifth, sixth judge. King, sixth judge, Ostrom Edward, the King of England, Ostrom Edward,
Edward VIII,
everybody requested to him, you stay in your king's position. But he cannot stay. But if he wants to come, he must leave his desire and will see the desire of country. See, I have not done that. He have gone. He have not done that. He have gone other way. But Krishna merciful. Krishna given us his mercy. We are trying to continue steadily service to the gurus. And service to the gurus means the servants of the guru's service also. Not only direct service to guru, servant of the guru, that's also service to guru. Then if we not will forget the mood of service and what is our wealth of life, elixir of life. The mood of service, it is elixir of life. And if we not will forget it, then we have no problem. Anyway, we shall try to organize, anyway we shall try to engage ourselves for the service. Service to Guru and for themselves also. Who is my friend who has some faith to us? Etavat janma sahulyam dehinam iho dehishu iho dehishu pranayadarthirhya vacha seva acharanam sada. Try to do good for others, not to bad, not to do anything bad. As possible, as good, try to do for others. Then Krishna must be merciful to you. Pranayadarthirhya vacha, what you have, that is your love, affection, money, intelligence, and speaking, through everything, try to do something good for others. We are living in a society, but actually we are not giving mind only hearing. Always we are hearing,